Welcome to a special Bimmercast. This is Bimmercast number 37. We're going to be talking about, exclusively talking about, the new 6 Series convertible that was introduced just minutes ago on the LA Auto Show floor. And we're going to be going into detail about the design, the engines, the technology, really everything about the car, and giving you our opinions. We've had these photos for a little while. We've had the information for a little while, so we've formed a few opinions. So we're gonna talk about that in a little bit, and then we're gonna talk a little bit about the new Vision concept, somewhat 6 Series related. So probably a good time to give you our thoughts on that as well, and talk a little bit about what is going to be coming down the pipeline as far as the actual on sale date, costs, performance, etc. So stay tuned. Okay, so it is, of course, November 17th, 2010. Forgot to mention that up front, but of course, a few of you may have already heard our previous show today. This is our second show of the day, and it is dedicated to the 6 Series. Michael, we have a new 6 Series.
I'm excited. I'm actually excited, Gabe. I don't know if you can hear it in my voice, but the previous generation 6 Series and I, we just did not see eye to eye, and every time I saw it, I wanted to just punch it in the face. So.
Neither did I. I mean, I wanted to punch it in the neck. I mean, it was not a popular car around Bimmerfile, and I would say not a popular car with enthusiasts. Yeah, it was a big car. It was sort of bloated. The new 6 Series is not going to be necessarily any smaller or any lighter. The thing that got me was the look of it.
Yeah, it's dead sexy.
Well, the old one, yeah, it was a little, let's say it was a little too voluptuous, if you will. This new 6 Series, really, I got to give it some credit here. I've got to give the folks at BMW Design a lot of credit. It is athletic, it is taut, it is absolutely gorgeous, and looks to have a ton of presence.
Yeah, the scariest part is it looks so much better, but yet proportionally and the lines of the general vehicle are very similar to the previous generation.
Yeah, that's actually really interesting because the 6 Series, and we've talked about this in the past, this new 6 Series is very much an evolution. Even the interior is very much an evolution as far as the lines, the shapes, the overall layout. It's actually kind of shocking how similar it is.
Yeah, this just looks modern and fresh, and I mean, honestly, I'm going to say clean because it just pops.
Yeah, it really does. So, I mean, starting in the outside, we see this new shark nose, and it is truly a shark nose. And then the headlights. I mean, these headlights are pretty dramatic. They are aggressive looking. They're big. I think that's one thing that when people actually get up close to this car and see it in person, they're going to realize those are monster headlights.
Yeah, they're very CS concept-esque, you know, the way they sweep back and realistically take up a big portion of the front of the car.
Well, I actually think they're even bigger than the CS concept. I mean, they are really, really swept back. And, of course, there's lots of LED work at play there, so.
And I will say they do not look like a Christmas tree. They're done proper.
They do not look like a Christmas tree. That is absolutely.
Well, I just can't stand those LEDs that look like, you know, Christmas tree lights.
On the 3 Series, I don't mind them. They're not that bad. But you're right. I mean, this is sort of that next generation, if you will. Yeah, I mean, I just can't help but say it. It's pretty fantastic. Now, the interesting thing is, I mean, as far as daytime running lights, it looks to me that you have turn signals below the lights, and then you have, it looks like fog lights integrated into the bottom near the air intake.
Yes. Yeah, I think you're spot on with that.
So you have your, and then you have your composite fenders and your likely aluminum hood, of course your plastic front section. And here, if we go around the side of the car, and this is where it gets interesting to me, and maybe the only questionable line on the entire car, is this downward sweep, which at some angles, if you follow sort of typical design languages of cars, would indicate frontward power. It would sort of move your eyes towards the front, and it would infer that there's power coming from the front wheels, which of course is not the case. We see this on the X3 as well, and I can't help but think this is a new little facet of BMW's design language. But it's new and again a little unexpected, and for me at least a kind of a miss.
Yeah, I actually like it. I think it gives it a more chiseled look and actually makes it feel like everything's in motion, because you have almost the same line but going in an upward sweep in the back, so it's almost like there's water spraying off the front wheels, water spraying off the back wheels. Just that's how I look at it.
Well, I think whatever you say about it, this car is definitely chiseled. I mean, where the old 6 Series was convex, this is concave, and I think it suits the personality of what a 6 Series is. This is a GT. This is a Grand Tour, but it is not. It should not be looked at as an old man's car, even if an old man's driving it.
Yeah, you know, and I used to complain that, how could you compare a 6 Series to, say, an Aston Martin? Just learn in the same class. But now, honestly, this car looks great, and it really looks athletic, and it's kind of in the same league, to be honest with you. But really, to me, it is. I don't know. It's just the whole look of this car, to me, actually strikes an emotion of athleticism rather than being pompous, to be honest. It's just the only way I can describe it.
I agree. And speaking of athleticism, the wheels are just bloody fantastic. I mean, open in their design. I love the finish of them. It looks like they're polished on the edges. Just through and through, great design. Fits the car really well. They look like they're, are they 20 inches?
I think so.
I mean, they're huge.
They're quite big.
They look fantastic, though. Absolutely great.
Wow.
Yeah.
I'm just looking at the interior of the seats again.
Well, let's talk about the interior, because I think this is... I'm a little surprised. We talked about, you know, wow, BMW is gonna put this, like, monitor, basically, in the 6 Series, and... it's going to have this huge crevice in the back. I mean, just for my own sanity, I pleaded, don't do it, because it's going to get dusty and gross, and there's stuff that's going to get in there, and God forbid, they actually did it.
Yeah, but it looks so... I just think it looks really nice and integrated, and the, you know, they kept that sweeping center arm console, you know, how it flows from the dash all the way through, as in the previous generation, but they made it, once again, look more athletic.
Mm-hmm.
And you have the typical steering wheel that is being used across all models, all future models anyway, and the same dash cluster and things like that. So they have that familial symmetry and things, but...
A lot of leather in the dash.
A lot of leather in the dash. That's kind of like a Gallardo, isn't it?
Yeah.
Murcielago, you know, those Lamborghini things with the leather everywhere?
Yeah. There's lots of leather. We've got basically a widescreen monitor sitting in the dash.
And it's two-tone leather.
It is. The 6 Series is always like that, though.
I love two-tone.
Yeah, I do too. It's pretty slick. I mean, this is going to be a pretty slick car. Wow. I mean, I'm just kind of in awe. Everybody loves
and the seats.
Just,
the seats
just look
actually
at the photos right now.
Yeah, and the seats actually. I don't think they're being shared. You know, usually what BMW does is they kind of share seats.
Yeah.
They share them across models and maybe make a little pad adjustment here, pad adjustment there, and you have voila, model specific seat. But these seats actually look like they're custom specific to this vehicle.
You know, you're right. I think they're very similar to the 5 Series seats, but the finish, the actual padding design is very different.
It's very different, and you have, of course, the seat belt built into the seat, which is always nice. As many 3 Series Coupe A and convertible people, well, convertibles have them, but the Coupe A has those stupid arms that push everything forward. So we can only pray that the 6 Series Coupe, when it comes to market, has the same seats.
Yeah, no kidding.
Because the arm is just obnoxious, but that's a whole nother story.
It really, really is.
Now, the other thing that I find interesting with this, Gabe, on the interior is the rear seat, the way it is kind of bolstered.
Mm-hmm.
I don't recall in the previous generation that actually being there. So it's realistically a nice 4-seater grand touring sports car.
Mm. Yeah, you're right. And if you look closely, you'll see that the glass, as the 6 Series convertible does now, will actually come up independently of the roof. So if you want to have sort of this built-in wind cowl or wind deflector, all you need to do is just raise the rear glass.
That's fantastic if you don't want to lose your hat or, say, your hairpiece.
Now, Michael, why would you assume there'd be a hairpiece involved in the 6 Series?
I'm just saying hypothetically.
It's hypothetical. I mean,
it could be hypothetical. But the other thing worth noting with these seats, Gabe, is they do look very bolstered. So
yeah.
I'm not sure if people of larger persuasion would be comfortable in, say, this base car.
I don't know. I do not know. But it's a good point.
But the hairpiece will stay on if people are so inclined to do the hairpiece. Personally, I just bick. So
I would bet that a hairpiece is probably going to work well if you do have a hairpiece. What I would recommend is just buy the coupe.
The coupe, yeah, the coupe. That would be a good choice.
So
with a sunroof or without a sunroof?
Without, of course. One thing to note here is, and we knew this, of course, we talked about it, but this top is cloth. So let's think about that for a second. BMW has gone to a metal roof on the lowly 3 Series convertible, yet on the high-end 6 Series convertible, they've stayed with cloth. What the hell are they thinking?
Well, I do know my grandfather, God bless his soul, is looking down at me as I say that. But I do recall he had a Lincoln Town Car, and he bought it, and it had, you know, it had a regular top, and yet the man decided to put a cloth top on the car because he just thought that cloth looked more stylish and fashionable, more prestigious.
I think there's something to that. I think it's the same thing with the Rolls Royce. You know, the cloth top, you know, is a bit of a statement. You know, it sort of says that, you know, I'm not hiding the fact that I have a convertible. This is a convertible. This is designed from a functional standpoint.
Do you think it saves any weight?
I believe it does. Oh, absolutely. Cloth over aluminum? Absolutely. No question.
I wasn't sure if, you know, because of the steel, you might need to reinforce the weight. Yeah, I have no idea.
Absolutely. That aluminum's not going to do anything as far as crash rigidity. I mean, this is much, much lighter. Again, looking at the photos, and I hope everybody listening is able to look at the photos, just gorgeous. And I think BMW has a winner. And I think...
Yeah.
This
Absolutely.
Is what the 6 Series should look like in 2011. I don't know what else to say.
Well, that is actually really driver-oriented. The more I look at it, the dash actually looks tweaked towards the driver, just the way it should be. Everything looks really well organized. I'm a huge fan, and I'm a huge fan of this new HUD, the heads-up display. I think the heads-up display, honestly, it's the greatest creation since sliced bread. I love it. I wish every car had it, and I don't understand why they just can't make it standard across all models and keep costs down. I really don't. I mean, if you put it in every car, it's going to become cheap.
Oh, Pontiac had it in, like, 1991.
Well, and that's Pontiac. I mean, we're talking BMW here. Top-of-the-line stuff, right?
Right.
Why can't we get a heads-up display in, say, the 3 Series?
What I think is hysterical is the rear-facing camera is hidden behind the roundel. So if you hit reverse, that little roundel is going to flip up and expose that camera. So the camera is actually protected from the elements.
That's totally necessary, Gabe.
My first reaction is, you know, because I look at this car and say, well, I'll never buy one unless it's like, you know, I'm the fourth owner, and that thing is going to be broken by then, of course. So I'm like, well, great. Well, that's broken. My second thought is, holy shit, that's awesome. I mean, how cool is that? How cool
is that little thing flipping up
every time I hit reverse? That's kind of awesome.
And I think that's kind of the situation I think BMW is finding himself in, is that everything is converging. You have formerly crappy manufacturers making great cars that drive fairly decently and they're more reliable. So how does BMW distinguish itself? It comes up with cool gadgets like that and an awesome heads-up display, which I can't wait to experience.
Wow, you're a big fan of the heads-up display.
Oh, I love it, Gabe. Especially the M versions with the tack up there. Oh, you don't have to look down then. Totally. I mean, you could be you just concentrate on, you know, hitting the apex at the speed limit and you're set.
Well, and then when you have navigation included in that, it becomes even more impressive.
Yeah, no, I'm looking forward to experiencing.
So let's switch gears. We've talked about the 6 Series. It's an awesome car. We're really excited. Let's talk about what comes next as far as a 6 Series.
Hold on. Sorry. Could you repeat what you just said? I missed it. I thought you just said we were excited about a 6 Series. I wanted everybody to understand. We hate the 6 Series like more than anything in this world.
I actually had to splash water in my face. No, it's true. I'm excited about the 6 Series. I cannot wait to see this thing in person. It looks great. You know what? A 6 Series should look sexy. I should look at this car and think to myself, God, I should have been a dentist.
I agree. It gives you that, like, want, desire to own something that's not achievable at this time.
And ridiculous. But you love it. Like, that's a 6 Series, you know? Like, the previous 6 Series, it was just gold chains and, you know, just fast food wrappers. It didn't make any sense. It was gross and weird and too expensive and not good at anything. This new one, it may not be any faster than the 3 Series, but God, it's got more style.
Oh, it absolutely does. And it definitely looks its part in the lineup.
Yeah, it totally does. And that's what a 6 Series should be. It should have this style, this just exudes charisma and sort of, you know, authority, if you will. And
I'm almost going forward to say, Gabe, that if I see somebody when this comes out and somebody buys one, I actually might give them a thumbs up.
No, like, you don't. No, you don't.
Great purchase. Instead of like shaking their head, like, why did you buy that and not a GT3?
Well, yeah, I still may do that, but. Okay, so 6 Series, awesome. Again, exciting. Let's talk about what is kind of the next sort of the new world 6 Series, if you will. I know it's kind of a stretch, but the Vision concept car has become the Vision production car. We don't know what the name is going to be yet. It could be 100i, i100,
M1.
M1, sure. It could be a lot of things. I don't think it's an M product right now, but regardless, it's going to be a $100,000 plus 2-seat BMW GT, which to me sounds like an older 6 Series.
Yeah, it's like I think it's a 2+2, but
yes, it's a GT. It's a 2+2, and we've gone over this and we talked about this being a, air quotes here, a runner over a year ago. And we talked about the fact that this would be going into production over a year ago. So, you know, the folks who've listened to the show and read Boomerphile probably aren't shocked by the fact that this has been announced. But at the same time, you know, we've got some new figures, we've got some new information, and really it's all worth sharing. Let's start with one number that I think is just truly astounding. Drag coefficient is 0.22.
Scary.
That is
scary.
Incredible. 0 to 60 is going to be under 5 seconds. And on the MPG front, We're talking on the imperial cycle, so the UK cycle, we're talking 75 miles per gallon.
And this is from a fast car.
0 to 60 under 5 seconds, 75 miles per gallon. On the US cycle, that is well over 50. Well over 50.
For a sports car.
Yeah. I mean, over 50 combined and 0 to 60 under 5 seconds.
Now, Gabe. That's
incredible.
I'm just going to interject here. You are very well versed in the electric vehicle. Taken a couple to the track. You've driven them for extended periods of time.
Sure, sure.
You've had to plug them in.
Absolutely.
The BMW has a diesel power plant in it, but you don't have to deal with that.
And
how much better is that?
It's 100 times better. I mean, this is where this car gets really interesting. I mean, the Vision car has a 3-cylinder turbo diesel and then a hybrid motor at the front and rear axle. So that totals 324 horsepower with 328 foot-pound of torque. The car, of course, is quite light, and you know, all told, performance is just staggering given the miles per gallon. It is really the thinking man's efficient car. Efficient sports car.
I think it actually is going to be huge because I think everyone in Hollywood is going to want to buy one. So I think BMW is going to have to ramp production up from the get-go.
Well, I think you're right. I think it's going to be expensive. But I do think you're right. One thing, Michael, that you deserve a lot of credit on is the tires. The tires are huge. They're, I think, what, 20 inches at least?
Yes.
And they're very narrow.
They're very narrow.
And you called this out quite a while ago.
Yeah, I did, and people thought I was insane. I do recall. But, they're going to be varying diameter tires, if I remember correctly, to make sure that the width of the tire is actually wider, so you have that coefficient of friction for taking turns at a pretty good clip.
Hmm. So CO2 emission rating is going to be 99 grams per kilometer, which, of course, helps a lot in the UK and Europe as far as taxes. Again, you know, it's going to have a synchronous motor at the front and rear. It's really, really interesting to see what BMW is doing here because it's different than any other large automaker. And, of course, BMW isn't a large automaker, yet they're the ones who are coming out and doing something truly revolutionary.
Yeah, no, the coolest thing about this to me, Gabe, is that they're doing this futuristic design using futuristic materials, and they're bringing it to market 2000 and what? 30? No. 2013. I'm just blown away by that.
Yeah. 2013. I mean, that's, what, 2.5 years away?
Yeah, 2.5 years. They're going to have this thing all set and ready to roll.
So let's talk about styling for a second. Of course, the Vision concept was a concept as far as styling. We believe it will have the gullwing doors, the doors that open up from the top. But, you know, I'm not entirely sure if they're going to be glass, as they are now, or polycarbonate. And, of course, as they are now, they're the entire width of the car. What should we expect?
Well, I think it's going to have to really be dictated by what crash testing says, you know. I think they're going to run a lot of simulations and then see what they can get. They want 5 stars. I mean, the 5 Series that's on the road now is like the safest car on the face of the planet. And BMW wants to also, you know, they want to be known for efficiency, sporty dynamics, and safety. So they want to build all that into this car. So I think that's going to dictate a lot of it. But, you know, we'll see. I think it's going to have probably a normal size window and as opposed to the full glass sides. I think it'd be really interesting to drive down the road, though, with all glass doors.
Yeah, actually, it would be
that,
pretty cool.
Especially that low to the ground. Yeah. I think that would just kind of be a little scary.
Yeah, sure. So, what are they going to call it? I mean, this is, of course, kind of a new era for BMW. We've heard i100. We've heard i1001. what is this thing?
I don't know. I think it's going to be called the M1. That's just me.
I don't think it's an M vehicle. I don't think BMW is going to do that. I think they may have an M version of this at some point, but I think knowing how they think, and I like to think I have a bit of an insight into that, I feel like this is going to be a new generation of something, and thus it's going to need a completely new name.
So you think they would use the I moniker, though? Because if they're going to use that for the I set, should that... I mean, is that going to be the halo vehicle of BMW, or is that going to be the halo vehicle of the Isetta brand?
I think the latter.
You think so?
I really do. I think this is going to be the halo vehicle of BMW's efficient branding. I think Isetta, I wonder if it's going to be not that... I wonder if it's just going to be I. You know, I wonder if it's... If I said it, it's actually not going to be that prevalent, and
I'm sure Apple owns I.
The letter.
They're taking over the rest of the world, so why not take over the alphabet?
Yeah, well, I'm fine with them taking over most of the world, but the alphabet I'd like to keep. It's just a guess on my part. You know, we don't really know. We just don't know.
Yeah, I think it could be interesting, but whatever it would be, I think it's going to have to be something that. Is kind of abstract then, you know, not necessarily maybe, I don't know if they would do it. Do you think they're going to do a number? I don't know if they'll do a number.
I-100? What's 100 mean, you know? Like
Right.
That's really the thing. It's difficult to look at this because, I mean, look at this and think of a number. I mean, it's a three-cylinder turbo diesel. So, of course, the Germans like to sort of make it applicable. I mean, the name needs to be relevant to something. Of course, the Americans sort of screwed that up because of marketing. So 328 is not a 2.8 liter, it's a 3 liter, but they call it a 2.8. 335 is not a 3.5 liter, it's a 3 liter, but it's a 335 piece of marketing. So it's a little strange to think of it as not associated with any of the dimensions of the engine, but I wouldn't put it past them.
Yeah, I mean, I almost feel like maybe what they'll do going forward with these sort of cars is do it via size of the car, kind of like Audi does the A4, you know, A4, A3, A2. I hate to say that, but I almost feel like BMW should do the AI or 7i or i7, you know, and stagger it up that way.
Yeah,
perhaps. Because realistically, going forward, and BMW's been saying this for the last few years, displacement means nothing anymore. Cylinder count means nothing anymore.
Yeah.
So, you know, I think that's really where it's going to go.
Well, displacement has never really meant a ton for BMW because they've always got more power out of smaller engines.
Yeah, absolutely. And then, you know, that's kind of, I think, where they're headed because they're kind of stuck with the BMW models now in this number system. And the numbers used to actually count for something, and now they mean nothing. So they're just completely random, realistically. So I mean, you're going to end up with in a couple of years, we're going to have four-cylinder turbo diesels, and what are they going to call that, a 20 series? Because it's going to put out more horsepower, say, than the 30 series did. Hmm. So that's going to be the big issue, and I think going forward, maybe they'll get away from using the motor or the displacement as the naming system, and rather just go with size or based on sportiness or market. You know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting, though. But the Vision is definitely something coming to market, and it's going to be out of, you know, 99.9% of people's price range. But at the same time, it's really going to, I think, change the marketplace.
Interesting. Well, there it is. So we have the new 6 Series, the 650 convertible, debuting at the LA Auto Show. And we've got the new Vision concept, which of course has debuted at Frankfurt and will be coming to a dealer near you in, I would say, 2013 in the U.S., early 2013, maybe late 2012 in Europe.
Can't wait.
Yeah, absolutely. So, with that said, this is Gabe. Cheers.
Michael, prost.